You'll find that closer to the back of the New Testament, 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. You're not going to have to turn anywhere else this morning, but 1 John chapter 4. We're going to read a couple of verses together and just draw a few thoughts out of this morning. Y'all pray for me, if you will, that God will help us. I believe once we get started, everything should be all right. So y'all pray for us, if you will, okay? Here in 1 John chapter 4, 1 John chapter 4. And let's start reading here in verse 7, and we'll read through the remainder of the chapter here in 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. The Bible says, "Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." Remember that, if you would, in verse 8. The Bible says, "For God is love. In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath towards us." Notice his next three words: God is love. "And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If any man say, 'I love God,' and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also." Let's pray for just a few minutes. Father, we thank you, God, for this day you've given to us. And I pray for the next few minutes we'll just set everything else to the side. We'll set our problems, our worries, our cares to the side. And God, we'll open our ears and open our hearts and allow the Holy Spirit of God to speak to us this morning. Father, we're so thankful to have visitors here. Pray, God, that this message will be a blessing to them. God, that you'll take something from your word this morning, and God, you'll prick hearts of those who's lost, undone without Jesus Christ. God, it's our greatest desire to see people saved and come into the family of God. And I pray that, God, that would happen this morning. God, that soul that's going to die without Christ and go to a devil's hell to be tormented forever. We pray, God, this will be the day of salvation for them. May they come to trust in you and you alone for salvation. And Father, for the rest of us that are saved, God, I pray we'll never get over the love of God. God, help us to worship you this morning in spirit and truth. In your precious name we do pray. Amen. Look here, if you get once again in verse 8. The Bible says God is love. And then in verse 16, the same expression, the Bible says God is love. There are some things in the Bible you can read about the characteristics of God, how he's merciful, how he's gracious, how he's kind, how he's long-suffering. And that's his characteristic. If I would explain myself to you this morning, I would say I'm a little dark-complected. I would say I'm probably about 6 foot. 6 foot one, 180 pounds, just built with muscle mass. And that wouldn't be a clear description of me, but that's how I would describe myself to you. And my friend, I got dark hair and hazel eyes and got a nice voice and just pleasant to be around. And that's the characteristics of myself. But here in the Bible says God is love. If you want to know what God is, God's love. And the Bible says it twice for us here. God is love. God is love. I want to just give you a few things before we get into the message. I want you to know that God's proved his love to us. My friend, God's proved his love to us. You say, what you mean by that? Love is an action word. I can tell my wife I love her all day long. But if I don't hold her hand and give her a little smooch on the cheek every once in a while and buy her some flowers or sing her a song, my friend, love is an action word. Love, my friend, has action to it. And God's proved his love to us. Let me read this one verse to you. You don't have to turn there because I'm going to just read it and go back to another verse. The Bible says here for us in John chapter 15, verse 13. I want you to listen to what the Bible says. In John chapter 15, verse 13, the Bible says, greater love has no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. And I believe we all know that Christ hung on the cross of Calvary. He died for our sins. He was buried in a borrowed tomb. He went to the pits of hell. He led captivity captive. He ascended up out of the grave the third day. He walked on this earth for 40 days. He ascended up on high. He's sitting on the right hand of God. He's making intercession for us. The Bible says there's no greater love than a man to lay down his life for his friend. And so God proved his love to us when he sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. He laid down his life so we can have life. God proved his love to us by the actions he's demonstrated in Jesus Christ. I want you to know God's love is everlasting. The Bible says this for us in Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 3. It says here, the Lord has appeared of old to me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. I want you to know God's love is everlasting. There's nothing you've ever done to cause God to start loving you. There's nothing you can ever do to cause God to stop loving you. When I first met my wife, I took the initiative. I wooed her with my charms. My friend, I done all I could to get her to notice me. And my friend, the Bible says that God loved us with everlasting love. Before I was even born, before my parents was born, before any of that took place, God loved me and he loved you with an everlasting love. His love never had a starting place because it always was. And his love will never have an ending place because it always will be. I want you to know he proved his love through his son. He loves us with everlasting love. And the Bible says his love is inseparable. There's no way we can be separated from God's love. Let me prove that to you. Out of the Bible, it says here in Romans chapter 8, it says in verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulations or distress or persecutions or famines or nakedness or peril or sword? And it is written, for thy sakes we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hey, my friend, if you're here this morning, if you're sitting down in these pews this morning, if you've got breath in your lungs this morning, I want you to know that God loves you with everlasting love, and there's nothing in this world that can ever separate God's love from you. He loves you this morning. For example, I love my children. I don't always agree with them. They don't always agree with Daddy. I don't always listen to them. They don't always listen to me. And quite frank, sometimes they get under my skin. And sometimes I get on their last nerves. But I wanted to tell you this morning, I love them and they love me. No matter how far they move, no matter who our girls marry, no matter what occupation they take up in life, I would always love our children. And God says, hey, my love for you is inseparable. He says, I love you with the everlasting love. And there's nothing that's going to separate my love from you. Notice this also, if you will, God's love constrains us. It says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, let me read this for you, and then we'll go on in the message. It says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14, it says, for the love of Christ constraineth us. That word constraineth means to put a hold on. It means to wrap around. It means to stop. It means to pause. Hey, the reason I love God and fear God, the reason I want to serve Jesus Christ is because the Calvary's cross has captured my heart and brought me to the foot of Jesus, and I realize his love is everlasting. His love is inseparable, and his love constrains me. His love makes me do what I should do as a Christian. My wife's love for me causes me to love her. My love for my wife causes her to love me. We're constrained with each other's love. The Bible says the love of Christ constraineth us. So I want you to notice this morning, just by way of introduction, that his love was proven by Jesus. God sent his only begotten Son to die for our sins, so we can know that there's a God in heaven that's sitting upon his throne, and this earth is his footstool. He's looking down upon dirty rats like us, upon a dirty, filthy rat like me, but he still loves me with an everlasting love that will never be separated, and it constrains me to live for Jesus Christ. Notice what it says here in 1 John, if you would. In 1 John chapter 4. It's a wonderful, wonderful saying here. Beloved, let us love one another. Verse 7. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Hey, my friend, this morning, I've got a God in heaven. He's not like Buddha that's in his grave, that's wrapped up in grave clothes, that's still dead. He's not like Muhammad that you can travel to his graveside and still see his bones. Hey, he's not Mary. Hey, my friend, he's not some woman that's still shoved in a box that's sitting there today. Hey, my friend, he's God. He's the very King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he's in the heaven this morning, my friend. And the Bible says he's the God who is love. Boy, he's a raging fire. He's a consuming fire. He's a jealous God, but hey, thank God I'm on his side, and he's a God of love. My friend, the Bible says here, because of his love, we've been set free. I want you to see this with me this morning. In verse 9, the Bible says, in this was manifest the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Hey, because God loves us, my friend, we can be set free from sin this morning. He loved us so much, he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to go to an old rugged cross, my friend, to bear our shame and to bear our reproach and to bear our sins. My friend, they whipped him with a cat of nine tails, and his back was exposed, and he put a crown of thorns upon his head, and blood run down. Hey, my friend, the Bible says that his body was so beaten and so bruised and so battered that we would even hide our faces from him. Hey, Christ was despised and rejected, a man full of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we did hide our faces from him. But the Bible says that it pleased God to bruise his own Son. Because of God's love, he sent his Son on the cross at Calvary so you can be saved today. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, I want you to know that God loves you today. And he loves you enough to give his Son, Jesus, to take your sins from you so you can live through him. I've got two wonderful sons. Most of the time, someone said the other day, their child was like sweet as cherry pie when they're sleeping. I can relate with that. I've got two sons, two daughters. I couldn't imagine giving one of my sons up to take your torture, take your torment, to take your suffering, so you'll have a choice to be saved or not. But God loved you so much, he gave his Son, Jesus Christ. The Bible says this for us in verse 9. It says, we just read it, in this was manifest the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. And in verse 10, the Bible says, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. I want you to notice that God loved us when we was unlovable. Hey, my friend, when you was out there in the field, when I was out there in the field, when we was out there in the world, cursing God, drinking our blood dummers, living for ourselves, God loved us. And still at that very moment, when I took God's name in vain, when I cursed God, God was in heaven, and his heart was filled with love just for me and just for you. The Bible says here in verse 10, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us, and he sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins, to be the satisfied payment, to be the free gift that we can have. Hey, I want you to know, my friend, when you was at your worst, God still loved you. I imagine when me and my wife started dating, I took more baths than normal. I started putting that smelly good stuff on You know, put that right guard on it and put that cologne on it and started brushing my hair and putting and shining my shoes and just doing all I can, my friend, to appeal to her eyesight. Hey, I didn't go to date my wife when I got out of tobacco field. Hey, with that tobacco sucker juice all over me and sweat pouring out my face and my clothes was all filthy and dirty and nasty. I didn't go to my wife and quartered in. I waited until I got home and got dressed up and fixed up and looking nice and tried my best to work with what I had. My friend, but I want you to know something. When we was at our worst, God in heaven was looking down upon us. He said, I'm going to tell you what, boy, I still love you. I tell you what, honey, I still love you today. Hey, no matter what you've done and where you went and what you've become, hey, God still loves you today. I've got authority from God's word to tell you that God loves you today. The Bible says a living dog is better than a dead lion. Once you're dead, you have no more hope. But no matter who you are today, as long as you're alive, you've got hope in Christ because God loves you. I'm not a TV preacher and say hey, everything's all right because it's not. If you're in sin, you're going to die and go to a devil's hell. And there's nothing this preacher boy and these church members can do about it. Only one that can save you from a life that you deserve is the one that's sitting above in heaven this morning looking down upon you with love in his heart. Hey, the only one, my friend, that can pay for your sins is Jesus Christ or yourself. But if you try to pay for them, you'll never get them paid for. You'll never accomplish the debt. You'll never have it paid in full. Hey, Christ has paid the supreme payment for your sins and for my sins that we can be set free through God's Son so we can go to a place called heaven so we can have all the splendors of God. I want you to know something this morning, my friend. Hey, God loves you more than I love you. God loves you more than your mama loves you. God loves you more than your mate loves you. God loves you so much, he provided a way for you to go to a place called heaven. And that way, my friend, is through Jesus Christ. The Bible says, for God so loved the world. You're part of the world this morning. That he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Though Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come unto the Father but by me. Notice what it says here, if you would, in verse 14. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Hey, not just the Baptist. Hey, not just the Holiness. Hey, not just the Church of God. Hey, but Christ is the Savior of the world. There's only one way in, and that's through Jesus Christ. Hey, there's only one way to be forgiven, and his name is Jesus Christ. I like that sticker. I believe Brother Robert, Sister Terry Lynn has one, and we have one. The sticker says, in God we trust, and Jesus is his name. Hey, my friend, I'm trusting in God. I'm trusting in Christ. I'm trusting in my Savior that what he done on the cross of Calvary was sufficient enough to pay for my sins and give me everlasting life to change my life within. And the Bible says here in verse 14, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior, to be the Savior of the world. If you hear this morning, I'll make a whole lot of Jesus being the Savior. Because it's not your good works. It's not your good deeds. It's not even what you can do for Jesus that he's after. He's after you because he loves you. And he gave his son to die for you so you could be saved through him. Because of God's love, we've been set free. Notice verse 15. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. My friend, have you confessed? The Bible said, for with the heart, man believeth in righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Hey, I've confessed a lot of times when I was a younger boy and on a roller coaster rides, and I thought, hey, this seatbelt might not hold me, and this chain might break, and I might plummet to my death. There's a lot of times I was sitting on a Ferris wheel, or sitting on a roller coaster, or was at some hell hole that's playing the loud music and the bright lights, and some man started shooting. I said, oh, God, save me! I wasn't serious. I just wanted to get out of that place so I can come back the next Friday night. I don't want to finish riding a roller coaster ride so I could ride another one. Hey, when me and my wife was dating, we was in a place we shouldn't be, and a man pulled a pistol out from up under his pants, and he shoved it in my gut and said, "Hey, I'm going to blow your brains out," over a television set, a 13-wide, everyday house pawn shop TV. He shoved a pistol in my stomach and said, "I'm going to blow your brains out." I said in my heart, "God, if you get me out of this one, boy, I'll go to church. I won't ever take your name in vain again. I'll do whatever you want me to for the rest of my life, but God, you get me out of this one, I'll get myself out of the next one." I confessed, but I wasn't serious. The Bible said, with a heart, man believeth in righteousness. You know, the day I confessed and got right with God is when I realized I was a guilty sinner, going to die my sins on the way to a devil's hell. And that night, I don't know exactly what I prayed and how I prayed, but that night I asked God into my heart to forgive my sins and be my Savior. Because of God's love, you could be set free, beloved. Because of God's love, you could be set free. Because of God's love, you can be set free from sin and have a Savior, my friend, that will stick closer than a brother, that will be there with you forever, my friend. The Bible says, "I'll never leave thee, I'll never forsake thee." Because the God of the universe, because the one that spoke this world into existence, because the one that gave me life, loved me so much that he gave his son to be the propitiation, to be the satisfied payment for my sin. Because of his son, I can be set free from the sin that I've been bound to, that I'm going to die for and die and go to a devil's hell. I could be set free from the sin that had me in bondage. The Bible says God is love. Because of who he is, we could be set free from sin. Not only that, but the Bible said because of his love, we love him. Look here, if you would, with me, verse 19. The Bible says we love him because he first loved us. And now, my friend, this morning, I love God more now than I have ever loved God. I love God more now than I believe the day I got saved. Hey, because of God's love, it makes me love him more. The Bible says that the love of Christ constraineth us. Every day it wraps around me and holds me tight and lets me know, hey, there's someone worth living for. Hey, there's someone worth loving. Hey, my friend, friends will come and go. Hey, family will grow up and get married and move on and get their own job and own occupation. Hey, but Christ will stay with you forever, my friend. Hey, when the friends is come and gone, hey, Christ is still there. And I want you to know something this morning. I love him because he first loved me. And it's always Jesus who takes the initiative. It's always Jesus who takes the first step. Adam and Eve sinned against God. But what did God do? God said, "Adam, where art thou? Adam, where art thou? Adam, I come to talk to you and fellowship with you. Adam, I come to spend some time with you because I love you. Adam, where are you?" Adam said, "I was hiding because I was naked." My friend, Jesus Christ comes to all of us. You might not hear all of a voice, but you know this morning, if you're lost, Christ is speaking to your heart about giving yourself to him. He's speaking to your heart right now. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." Because of God's love, we've been set free. Because of God's love, we love him. I like this last part. Because of God's love, we shall love each other. Notice what it says here in verse 7. "Beloved, let us love one another. If that's all the Bible ever wrote, that should be good enough." The Bible says, "Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God." Are you saved this morning? Hey, church member, are you saved this morning? If you're saved this morning, the Bible says you should love each other. Notice what else it says here about loving each other in verse 12 and verse 11. I mean, the Bible says, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also love one another." It don't matter how much you get under my nerves. It don't matter how much you get up under my skin. I still should love you. Hey, my friend, if you don't like eating catfish stew, it's all right. If you don't like eating them salmon patties, it's all right. Hey, if you don't like eating fatback and hog jowls, it's all right. I still can love you. Hey, because I like to eat those things, you still can love me. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, and it makes us love each other. Hey, we've got a church family this morning. Hey, we've got members, and we've got visitors, and we've got friends, and we've got family. Hey, the Bible commands us. Bible tells us, hey, if God saved us and God's given us his love, he's given us enough of love to love each other and love everybody. Hey, my friend, I'm not going to be a compromiser. Hey, I'm not going to give in to sin. Hey, if you do something wrong, it's wrong. Hey, if my mama do something wrong, it's wrong. And I do my best to preach the devil out of her. Hey, but my friend, I still can preach and love you, and you still can listen to me and love me, because the Bible says that God is love, and if you have God, you have God's love, you have God, and we can love each other. Sometimes we walk in this church and just waiting for somebody not to chip off our shoulders. We come in here with pooched lips like you ate a cereal bowl full of lemons this morning. But my friend, the Bible said we can love each other. We can love each other. You might not have grew up the same way I grew up. Esteban grew up on a way different place than I grew up. He grew up a whole different style than how I grew up. But I can tell you this morning, I love him. I believe he loves me. And the only reason I love him this morning is because of God. The only reason he loves me this morning is because of God. Notice what else the Bible says about loving each other in verse 12. The Bible says, no man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. If we love each other, that's a good evidence you're saved, because of your love for each other. Verse 20 and 21. If any man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. What a strong, ain't it? That's strong. But here John said, if you say you love God, in other words, if you say you've been born again, you're saved, you've been redeemed, you got God who is love dwelling within your heart. If you say that you love God and you hate your brother, he said, I want you to know something. You're a cotton-picking liar. The Bible says you can't love God and hate your brother. Look what it says, if you would, in verse 20. If any man say, I love God, and hated his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, who he hath seen, how can he love God, who he hath not seen? And verse 21, the Bible says, in this commandment have we from him, that he who loved God, who loveth God, love his brother also. Now, my friend, some of you, it's harder to love than others. But it's manageable because of who God is. Now, I'm not here to browbeat anybody this morning, but I want you to notice, we're coming to the last days. We're coming to the very end of this world as we know it. We're coming to the very last day when Christ is going to step on the clouds and rapture the church out of me and call his bride away. Hey, my friend, and we need to go out with a bang. We need to go out loving each other as Christ loved us. Hey, my friend, the Bible says because of his love, we've been set free from sin. Do you know you're saved this morning? Do you know you've been redeemed this morning? Do you know you've been born again by the precious blood of Jesus? If you don't know that this morning, if you don't know you're saved this morning, won't you come and, my friend, and come and experience God's love. Don't just examine God's love. Don't just take your Bible and read about God's love. Won't you come to this altar and receive Christ as your Savior and know what true love is? Hey, my friend, if you're saved this morning, I want you to love God with every beat of your heart, with every fiber of your soul. Hey, just wake up in the morning and be excited that you're saved, and be excited that one in heaven loves you with everlasting love. Hey, my friend, if we're saved this morning, and I hope you are, hey, let's start loving each other. Now, we got neighbors, and we love them, but I ain't going to go to their birthday parties and listen to rock and roll and watch them drink their Bud Dummers and watch them smoke the drugs. I love them, but I'm not going to be a compromiser. But I tell you what, every time I do see them, I tell you what I do. I love for you to come to church and sit in my pew. And we'll let you sit here free of charge. We won't charge you a dime. We want you to sit right here because we love you. So, man, we visit them. I'll try to visit them. Slam the door in my face. Then he'd give me 2 seconds to explain what I was doing. And we would see him again. I don't know him, but I love him. I love him because of who God is and what God's done in my heart and life. And here this morning, about the Bible says God is love. God is love. Bible said, beloved, let us love one another, for God is love. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Do you know God this morning? Do you know him in his love this morning? I don't want to know him in his wrath. I don't want to know him in his wrath. I want to know him in his love. And if you're not saved, I would ask you, would you come to this altar and receive Christ as your Savior this morning? And if you are saved, just live like it. Just live like it. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you, God, for this day, for your love. Lord, I've done my best this morning to try to show others from this small passage of Scripture we have about your love. And God, there's so many depths and so many details we could have brought in and we could have traveled through. But God, simply this morning, the Bible says God is love. And we pray for those who's lost, that they get saved. That with simple childlike faith come to this altar and ask the God of heaven who loves them to forgive their sins and place their faith in Jesus Christ to be their Savior. And Father, I pray, God, for us that has been redeemed, that we love you more and more as the days go on. And God, I pray that we work more on loving each other. Lord, I realize we're a family. We're a family. We're a part of God's family. And Lord, if these people are saved, I'm going to spend my life with them in heaven. And Lord, they might have a mansion right beside mine. God, help me now to start working on loving them. God, help them to start working on loving each other and loving their pastor. Lord, I pray if we don't have this love that we should, and we'll call on you today and ask you to help us with this. Lord, now we're not going to tolerate sin or compromise with sin. God, we'll just tell it like it is and let the chips fall. But we can do it in love. As you have told us, we're sinners, destined for a place called hell. But God, you told us with love that we would come to you and receive your gift for salvation. Lord, I pray you bless today, God, those who need to be saved. Would you call out to them right now? Let them know that you will save them today if they just simply come to you. Lord, we love you. We need you now. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. If you would stand to your feet with me, the invitation is going to be softly start playing. The invitation has been given. If you need to be saved this morning, I want you to do this for me. If you know you need to be saved, if you've never trusted Christ or you're not sure about your salvation this morning, you don't know if you're right with God, but you know he loves you. You know he sent his son to die for you so you can be set free. If you'll just make your way out of your pew and come to this altar this morning, we want to help you. We want to take the Bible and show you how to trust in Christ as your Savior. If you know you need to be saved, you need to get things right with Jesus, I want you to come on. While the invitation is playing, while church members is praying just for you, the altar is open. God loves you enough. God loved you enough to give his son to die for your sins so you could be set free. Won't you come this morning and receive Christ as your Savior? Won't you come this morning and ask the Lord to forgive your sins, and by faith, you trust in him. He'll save you this morning. And my friend, today you might have a problem with someone in your family, someone in this church, and you don't love them the way you should love them. Why don't you come and give that to God? And say, God, you know my heart. I don't really love this person like I should love this person, but I want to love them. I want to love them the way you love me. And God, I need your help with this. I need your help. Maybe you're here this morning, you've been saved, and you need to be baptized. Why don't you come and make that known this morning? Why don't you just stand before the church and say, I've been saved. I've trusted Christ as my Savior. And I need to be baptized. And with this baptism, I'm going to be a member of this church. Maybe you've been saved and you've been baptized. And now God's put in your heart to be a member of this church. Why don't you come and do that this morning? Why don't you come and say, preacher, I want to put my time, my talents, my heart into this church and be a member of this church and what God is doing here. I want to be part of that. If you're here this morning, you know you're not saved, and you didn't come forward, but you'd be willing to lift your hand and say, preacher, if you'll make a trip to my house, I'd be willing to sit down and hear more about this man called Jesus and what he's done for me. If you would like me to come by your house and tell you about Jesus, I want you to slip your hand up real quick, and I'll see it, nobody else will. But let me help you. Let me tell you more about Jesus. Father, we thank you, God, for this wonderful day, for thy love, God, for your great love in our lives. Lord God, we pray for the decisions that's been made today, for God, the ones that set this altar, God, those who's following Christ in baptism. Lord, we pray, God, you encourage them and strengthen them. And wonderful, wonderful visitors that we have here this morning, God, we're delighted in them being members of this church. And God is serving you through this local assembly. We pray, God, that you'll confirm that to them and let them know that this is where they should be. And Father, we pray most of all for those who's lost, undone without Christ. God, that you'll allow them to hear the gospel again, that they can receive Christ as their Savior. Lord, we love you now. We ask you, God, to help us.